What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! Welcome in to the Jason and John Show here on a Thursday. It is the Thursday, July 18th, 2024 edition of the show. Jason is wrapping up his vacation. He'll be back next Monday for those who are asking. Hold it down with Brad Carson here on the show. Appreciate you guys being here. Grizzlies win again. I mean, these guys can't lose. It doesn't matter who's out there. Jake LaRavia, no. Cam Spencer, no. Zach Edey, no. Against another undefeated team in the Summer League yesterday, it's just too much. Scottie Pippen Jr., just too much. G.G. Jackson, just too much. And they're back in action later today against the New Orleans Pelicans. And, Brad, I can officially say, for the first time in Summer League, we officially have our first double-digit spread.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right. The Grizzlies are 10-point favorites tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans, which, I believe is I've been hitting Summer League pretty hard. It's the first 10-point spread I've seen.
What are the Pelicans? I got to pull up the—
They're bad.
They haven't won a game. I know that.
They haven't won a game, and— I mean, they don't have anybody with more than 1 year of experience at the professional level.
So. You know what that does? That actually makes me feel better about the West a little bit because their depth. I mean, I realize that a lot of these guys that we're playing aren't going to play either, but it does make you wonder what the hell the Pelicans are doing.
Yeah, there's not a ton of young talent on that team at all. Jordan Hawkins is basically it.
Yeah.
And he has not had a great summer league. So, anyway, the question sort of is, it's been the question like every day since, 2 weeks ago. Are we going to see Zach Edey? I kind of feel like I'm in a straitjacket.
Yeah, you started
it. Well, I said, hey, let's just shut him down.
I said it immediately on Twitter.
And then the Grizzlies have sort of kept the possibility alive every day. We're not shutting him down. We're not shutting him down. He never plays, but we're not shutting him down.
Well, one of the ways you psych out your opponent in summer league is you have a 7'4" guy who's going to be starting for your franchise. Will he play or not? You don't want to tip your hand, John. Yeah. It's like poker. You're in Vegas. You don't want to necessarily show your hand. Play a little gamesmanship for the Pelicans.
I guess, man. It's just summer league, though. We don't have to go crazy. Listen. We'll see. I don't really know how it would make sense.
It doesn't make sense at this point.
Especially like last night. I mean, you're talking about big minutes for the Grizzlies. G.G. played 30 minutes. Scottie Pippen played 31 minutes. Jalen Wells played 30 minutes. So I'm not real sure. There's really no need to press this.
No.
And they've sort of made references quite a bit over the last couple of days about getting younger guys playing time. That was supposed to be yesterday, and I guess to a degree maybe it was, but not really at all. So is this going to be the one where you see more, DJ Jeffries and basically the non-draft picks? We shall see. Anyway, here's what we've got coming up on the show. Drew Hill's going to join us, and we'll ask him. We'll see what he thinks about that.
Yeah.
Get his thoughts on Cam Spencer and the summer that he's had, Jalen Wells, the availability of Zach Edey. So we'll get into all of that with him at 11:25 or so. Then at 1:25, Jeff Calkins He's going to join us. And we'll talk Grizz and you know, everything else with him at 125. So that's what we're going to do today. Also saw a story that I got to be honest. You know, we talked yesterday about the two separate governing bodies that might be coming to the NCAA and the Division I. And honestly, you don't have to look very far. You know, if you're looking for a feeling of not being in the group with the big boys, you don't have to search very far to find that feeling. But what I will say is I saw this story from Ross Dellinger this morning about SEC distributions. I'm not talking about TV money. I'm talking about revenue sharing. All right? Different. Because TV money, we've kind of come to grips with, right? We get it. There's a big gap. We've come to grips with that over the years. But now we got to come to grips with the other cloud that's coming, and that's revenue sharing and distribution, which is going to make NIL look like pennies.
Yes. They're going to outspend you no matter what.
And they've been doing it, but they're going to do it even more. I got to tell you, it is depressing. There's no other way to say it, but we will talk about it a little bit. And by the way, not just for Memphis, if you're the ACC,
right?
If you're the Big 12, if you're not in the Big 10 or the SEC, it's going to be tough for you. It's going to be tough for you. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But before that, Penny's roster is basically complete. I mean, could they add, you know, a piece here or there? You know, sure. I mean, Penny has definitely done that before. He's added guys in August. He's added guys in December. You know, there's really no limitation and no deadline that Penny Hardaway operates under. And by the way, happy birthday, Penny Hardaway.
Hey, it's his birthday today.
It is his birthday.
Stop asking me stupid questions.
How old do you think Penny is?
Penny is, he's in his 50s. That's the first place I'll start. Don't tell me yet. Is he 55?
He's 53.
I was shot over a little
bit. He looks amazing for 53.
Oh.
I got to give him that.
He looks as good as any 53-year-old on the planet.
He looks better than most 33-year-olds.
Yeah,
I mean, in terms of his physique, man, he's lost some weight. He's gotten back in good shape.
33 is hard to beat, bro. I mean, you live that life.
Yeah, well,
it is wonderful.
I'm not living it well right now. I'm trying.
Trust me, you're in good shape. You're a good looking young person. Like until you hit about 45, I feel like is where you really start getting into it.
Well, Penny's keeping it together
keeping
for 53. I gotta give him props.
No, he looks great. I don't want to take anything away from him. I mean, I think he's a very good-looking human. We've had this discussion for years about Penny Hardaway, but even before he was a coach, that he is one. You know, when you have these slow summer months, when we used to not have the summer league action, you would have these. When I produced Gary's show, it was prime time for us to have attractive male athlete conversations.
Right,
Penny would inevitably come up in a local conversation.
Sure,
I think Desmond Bain has been in that conversation, although he's in his 20s, so he doesn't count. You've been in those conversations.
Oh, absolutely.
Penny's still in there at 53.
I got to give it to him. Got to give it to him. So happy birthday! I believe he's in Vegas. He celebrated in Vegas, summer league, and playing some golf. So happy birthday to Penny. Anyway, look, this is mostly his roster. This is his team.
This is it.
He added P.J. Carter from Rice in the UTSA transfer, I believe it was last week. And, I mean, again, you can never count him out, but this is basically it. And so this is 7 years. This is going to be his seventh roster at Memphis. Yeah. And I thought, you know, it might be a good exercise if I just kind of went through. We've talked about sort of our feelings about this individual roster, right? Like how, you know, maybe it's Rob Doster gave it a D. I gave it a C. And it wasn't just, I guess it was more the offseason as opposed to the roster itself, but the roster is the big part of the offseason. Where does it rank in the history of Hardaway coach basketball teams? And actually had a lot of fun doing this. I have a piece up of the Daily Memphian where I go through every single team and roster. And I think, you know, maybe the results will surprise you a little bit, the rankings here. One thing I will say, as I was going through core players, core teams, and I'm just like you know, you're jogging your memory of who was on. You're just like, oh, my God, this team was loaded. So many of those. I had that thought maybe four times. You know, I mean, I was like, this team should have done so much more. At any rate, let's go through.
We've underperformed.
Coming in at number seven would obviously be Penny's first year. That was 18-19. And by the way, these are not rankings that are based on results. That's easy.
You're just looking at them.
We're looking at sort of the composition, mm-hmm. right? The composition, yeah. the experience, the whole kit and caboodle.
Sure.
And so I would say last would be Penny's first team, which is understandable. He had not gotten his fingerprints on his recruiting class yet. He did bring in Tyler Harris and Alex Lomax that season, but they were freshmen, and the rest of it was mostly just holdovers from the Tubby era. Highlights, definitely Jeremiah Martin. I mean, he was the leading scorer, averaged 20 a game, basically. He was rewarded for his patience with Memphis basketball, had that 40-point half against South Florida, but they were never a threat to make the tournament, and they weren't expected to be. So I would have them seventh. Sixth, I would have the 2019-20 year, which featured the number one recruiting class in America. That was the season that was supposed to be about all the smoke, the championships, the returning to glory for Memphis basketball, but it was such a catastrophic disaster. I mean, the season basically began in a courtroom, right? You got a temporary restraining order just to play the fulcrum of your class and James Wiseman. And look, I will give that team credit because in the face of all of that cloud and that fallout, they still managed to start the season 12-1. They still managed to go into Tennessee and beat Tennessee. That's incredible. But they didn't really have much of a resume past that. I think they lost by 40 to Tulsa. And so they were not on the right side of the NCAA tournament bubble going into the AAC tournament. And then COVID canceled everything. So, I mean, there might be some solace, Brad, that even if in an alternate universe, right, James returns and finishes the season and he doesn't walk away, there is some solace in knowing that no matter what, even if you'd have been amazing, there was still going to be no tournament. So you still would have had that heartbreak. It would have been a different feeling.
Yeah,
pain.
And we'd probably still have the same thoughts on it because whether you're forced to lay out or you didn't make it, it's the same conversation.
Right, like it's like, you know, it's still a what could have been. It's just like in that case, you would have earned an appearance, but it still didn't happen.
Having said that, still underperforming.
Yes, I would say that team underperformed. But again, a lot of reasons for that.
We have reasons every year as part of your exercise lays that out perfectly.
That's right. All right, so moving on to number five. This would be, and when I was doing this.
Number five.
I thought, damn, man, this team really, really should have made it. And it's sad that it didn't. DeAndre Williams.
Absolutely.
Landers Nolly. Sophomore Lester Quinones. Junior Alex Lomax. Sophomore Boogie. Sophomore DJ, freshman Musa, right?
Man.
I mean, that's a damn good team. I mean, that's a damn good team on paper.
All the weapons.
And they had a top five defense, right?
Yeah.
Here's the issue. They got off to that abysmal start in South Dakota. They lose. I don't know, a lot of people probably don't remember how this exactly happened. They had a road game at Houston canceled because of a COVID outbreak, right? And the way that it worked is that game was rescheduled, but at the expense of the home game that Memphis had with Houston.
Because we got into it with Kelvin Sampson at that point. Our fans were
So
pissed.
Basically, the league rewarded Houston the home game.
I remember that conversation.
And took the home game from Memphis.
And Kelvin was like, yeah, that's just the way the ball bounced.
And, of course, in that game, Tremont Mark hits a buzzer-beating three to win the game. As time expires. And then, look, Memphis played them close again within a bucket in the AAC tournament. But, like, they were in a position where they had to beat Houston to get in, which has kind of been the position they've been in
most years.
But that year, they could not do it. They got so tantalizingly close, and they could not do it. They did go on to win the NIT.
Okay.
And remember, that was a smaller field because of COVID, but they did go on to win the NIT. But the lasting feeling, certainly from that team, was that this season should have been more.
Yes.
No doubt about that. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
This year. I think this is the fourth best roster that Penny has put together.
That actually makes me feel better.
I think there are some things to like about it. You know, as we've talked about, Tyrese Hunter and Dane Danger are dropping down a level. You go from the Big 12 and the Big 10 to the AAC, you're dropping down a level. That's just the facts of it. not in terms of program prestige maybe, but conference, no question about that. So it's easy to visualize that those two guys in particular could have big, big years, right, from a statistical standpoint. Kobe Rogers has already shown what he can do in AAC play. You know, Haggerty was getting buckets at Tulsa. That said, the reason why this is four and not two, right, or three, is that, you know, in the transfer portal era that goes back to 2021, no team's ever made the tournament when they bring back 15% of their minutes from a year ago or fewer. Never happened. Now, it's a smaller sample size, but the Tigers just aren't close to that mark. They're at like 10%, and they were at 10% last year. So you're talking about two straight years of doing this. With that being said, the only objective for them is just winning the AAC, and the AAC is awful. I mean, you have one real – like when I talk to national people about the AAC, I'm not even exaggerating when I say this. They can't even come up with three teams. They still mention FAU. FAU's on a brand-new coach. They suck, right? So
yeah,
that's what you're dealing with.
That sucks.
FAU is not a factor. SMU is gone. Houston is gone. The only team you really have to contend with is UAB. That's it. Everybody else is, I mean, USF got absolutely raided by the transfer portal. This is sort of like paved with, you know, gold for you in terms of this league. And if you do that, and if you win the AAC with this group, which you should be able to do, you're getting back to the NCAA tournament. And not a moment too soon, I would add. Number three is going to be last season. Now, I know... it's going to be hard for people to accept this ranking because of how sour it ended and how ugly it got. But you also can't forget that the midway through the whole thing, it felt like the breakthrough finally took place. You know, yeah, Memphis was living on the edge with close wins. Vandy, Austin Peay, that was stupid, right? But they had beaten Arkansas, they had beaten Michigan, they had beaten Clemson, they had beaten Virginia. I mean, this is sort of, we all had that same feeling like, this is what it feels like to have a veteran group. They know how to close. They know how to finish games. And then you have that heartbreaking loss to South Florida where you blow the big lead and the thing collapsed like the house of cards that it ultimately proved to be. There's a lot of blame to go around. I think there's blame to go around on the coaching staff. I think there's blame to go around on the players themselves. But one thing that you can't take issue with is the construction of the thing. I mean, each position was addressed. You had... a full-time true point guard in Quinterly. I'm not saying he wasn't without his flaws, but he was. That's what he was, right? He was an SEC champ, SEC award winner. You had shooting. You had one of the best scorers in the country in David Jones, and they were ranked in the top 10 in January.
Yeah.
You know, and of course we all know they somehow managed to not make the NCAA tournament, but that was only because of a too far gone locker room and not because of the roster itself. But it was a damn good roster. It was a damn good roster that unfortunately did not realize its potential when it mattered.
Yeah, and I mean, Quinterly's coach might have told us this.
No, he did.
He wasn't a perfect piece.
He did. There's no doubt about that.
I know.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, the roster, well, I can follow that.
Yeah.
Number three?
Yeah, number three is what we're going to go with. Number two?
Number two.
Yep.
Is going to be the Amani Bates and Jalen Duren year.
Good call.
That is... I mean, pretty obvious.
Pros.
That's the only win of the Penny Hardaway era in the tournament. Jalen Duren, senior forward DeAndre Williams, sophomore guard Earl Timberlake. Remember Earl?
I remember Earl via Miami with the back problems.
That's right.
What the hell happened to him? I guess we'll find that out.
He ended up going to Bryant, I think.
Bryant University. That's right. He transferred to Bryant and then fell off the face of the earth, apparently.
Landers Nolly was still here.
Yeah, and he went back to Cincinnati. You don't hear about him either.
He did, yep.
All these dudes go away.
That's right. And then you had senior guard Alex Lomax.
And he played solid that year.
Junior guard Lester.
Wow.
Senior guard Tyler Harris.
Who is a pro.
And then you had Josh Minot.
You basically had three. Well, you had Minot, too.
So Minot was a pro.
You have basically four pros. You got pros out. And you may not have recognized it at the time because
exactly
you were thinking the Wiseman and that all thing was going to be bigger. But there's no doubt. That is a big roster. I can't wait to hear who's number one to compare it.
Well, and that was also the first year of NIL. And nobody capitalized more immediately than Memphis.
And Minot didn't play a lot. Like, Minot was insignificant as hell.
He would have moments, but people got frustrated that he did. I think his camp, too. His camp got frustrated.
He was buried.
Yes, exactly.
This dude's a timber wolf.
Yes.
And, like, on the roster.
Exactly.
God,
exactly.
Darn, that's frustrating.
Yeah, so, you know, you're talking about, you know, tons of good players on this team, and it at times veered dangerously close to disaster because the Imani Bates project
was a
point
problem.
Guard. But thanks to Jalen Duren being one of the most physically dominant centers in the college basketball.
Hey, I will say the one cool thing about watching that year, as I recall, is how Penny did turn it around. It was one of those cases where it got choppy, and he really waged a war where he got Imani Bates. I remember Bates was the MIL for a while, right?
Yep.
Brings him back, gets him to play that first game of the NCAA tournament. Was it Boise? And then seemingly, like, they patched it up to where he was on the, you know, he was an NCAA tournament player for them.
Yeah, exactly.
That was good. That was a good year for Penny.
It was a very good year for Penny. They won over Boise State.
Yeah.
They broke through they beat Houston twice.
That was a really good
year for Penny.
Season.
Remember, they beat him there, and then they beat him. They beat the crap out of him in Memphis.
Beat the hell out of him.
And then Houston beat the hell out of them in the conference tournament. But you got two wins over Houston in 1 year.
That
That's an amazing season.
I have really good memories of that year.
Yeah, and then they beat Boise State, and they're up 10 against Gonzaga at the half.
Yeah.
Or Drew Timmy, who channels Bill Walton, God rest his soul.
Right.
But that's number two.
Okay.
Number one. Is, I think pretty obvious, 22-23. The one, it had to be Kendrick Davis, DeAndre Williams, Alex Lomax, Keontae Kennedy, Elijah McCadden, Demaria Franklin, Chandler Lawson. I mean, just experience. No young guys, just experience. And bringing in Kendrick and pairing him with DeAndre, who, you know, they're both from Houston, it really made for a dangerous team. I mean, their losses were... I mean, they lost an unfortunate, like, luck box game against Seton Hall. The guy chucks up a prayer, banks in at the buzzer, right? I thought this was Penny's best job, top to bottom, as a coach, as an evaluator, as an assembler of a team, because he focused exclusively on Kendrick, and he did a fantastic job of surrounding him with players who were happier to take lesser roles, right? Guys that didn't expect to have the ball as much. And they kind of cleared the way for Kendrick to do his thing as the reigning AAC player of the year. And they gelled well together, and it translated into wins. And I think it's the best KenPom. I think it's the best finish Penny's ever had in KenPom. They finished 26-8. That was his best record at Memphis. And they won the AAC tournament for the first time in program history. Memphis has never won the AAC tournament. They did that this year, beat Houston. And, of course, we know that it came to that tragic end. And we know how the rest played out, but... I think that team, if we're sort of ranking these, which is what I did, I think that team is the clear standard at Memphis.
So that's the roster, that's the team, and the whole package?
Whole package, man, the whole package.
Okay,
I think that roster...
I can follow that logic.
Just because of, you know, you're... The reason why I had it over the last one, the year before, was because you're talking about reclassified freshmen, right? Jalen Duren and Imani Bates were both reclassified freshmen. You had a little too much youth, I would say, and that's just not a formula for college basketball anymore. But it was interesting to sort of go back and look at how often close Memphis has been and how frustrating that is. Because, again, 2020, 2021, you know, it's been so long, but it's like, damn, that team should have made it. You know, that team should have made it. You know, 2021, 22, you know, they probably maximized. They did a bad job to start, and then they probably maximized what they could have been with their seed, you know, at the end.
You know, when I hear all those rosters, the one thing that gives me hope for this year is that we're doing it a little different way, and we're not putting so much emphasis on reclass, waiver guys.
Right.
Now, I realize the thing that you have harped on, which is percentage of returning players, that is where we suck this year. But,
exactly.
Like, if you just remove that, like, in theory, this roster has less drama in terms of no waiver guys, no, you know, elite out of the box recruits that you're counting on. Now, you'd love David Jones. David Jones would put it. If you had David Jones returning, where would you rank this roster?
I would probably have it.
You had it at 4 or 5, right?
I would switch the last year and this year.
Yeah,
I'd switch last year.
Okay.
And this year for sure.
It would bump it up a spot.
Yeah, it'd be top three.
Okay.
So I think not shockingly, as the fairest grader in the land, I think I've ranked this very fairly.
I think that's fair.
You know, it's not a top three roster under Penny Hardaway. It's not better than last year's roster, but it's still got enough on it. Mm-hmm. You know, to make some noise, to make the tournament, and I'll have some more on that later, probably next week. But yeah, it was a good exercise. I I really, my heart aches about that 22-23 season, though. Because they, we know, I mean, they had the path to the Sweet 16. They were going to the Sweet 16.
I've rewatched that game a couple of times. I know some people have a hard time watching it, but I don't think that game was ours. I think we were going to lose that game.
We'll never know. That would be devastating.
I don't think we were going to win the game.
If that's the case, if you're telling me they wouldn't have beaten Fairleigh Dickinson, then I'm glad they lost.
No, I think they would have beat Fairleigh Dickinson. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that game, the we should have game.
The FAU game?
The FAU game, the timeout game.
Yeah.
We were skidding, bro. Like, the momentum was not on our side.
I mean, they had a chance to close it and ice it. And
I think
Kendrick
we're revisionist
turns the ball
about
over,
that.
You know. Well, I mean, they had the lead, though. I don't think it's a revisionist thing. They had the lead.
But they were skidding, though. I mean, they lost that game.
They did lose the game. Yeah. But, I mean, all I'm saying is Kendrick Davis, who had been one of the absolute best guards in all of the country, you know, in terms of taking care of the ball, in terms of, you know, all of it. He has this uncharacteristic turnover. He and Malcolm are fighting with each other.
Yeah.
And Memphis still had the lead with under a minute to go. You know, I mean, that you would take that spot 100 times out of 100. And look, I mean, I could understand and I can hear the argument that, like, maybe it wasn't clear that Memphis had possession. You know, they did lose the game in the way that they defended the last possession.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, Elijah McCann sort of biting for a head fake when the team's only down one. If he takes that shot, you got to live with that. I mean, that's just something that, and I know it's hard in the game, in the speed of the game.
Yeah.
So it's easy for me to sit here and say that.
The revisionist.
You know what I mean?
I feel you.
But honestly, it's like, you know, if they want to take a three to win the game down one, let them do it.
You're right, though. You wonder how the whole tenure would have went if they would have won that game.
I mean, they go to the Sweet 16. They beat Fairleigh Dickinson. They go to the Sweet 16. Who knows? They might have played, you know, Tennessee, you know. But you have a Sweet 16 on your resume. It
changes everything.
As opposed to, you know, not.
Right.
And then, you know, it just.
And then FAU is a power now.
Yeah.
At least for those 2 years.
Well, they were, yeah. And then the Dusty
They're not
May
now
left.
Until Dusty left.
But they got another year out of it.
They got 2 years out of that.
And then, you know, no, but yeah, like it's a butterfly effect situation. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, like last year we forgive a little bit because we say, well, they got to a Sweet 16 in 2023.
Right.
Like,
right.
What are we talking about? Yeah, you just
give it up.
You're more willing to forgive things.
Yep.
You're more willing to, like...
And the dude still gets a job even a year removed. Like, he was still as hot as he was the year before when he didn't go as far.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, it's crazy.
Anyway, interesting times, as
always. Nice column there.
I appreciate that, man. It was good to go back and sort of look at the look at the past years and what could have been. Hopefully this year it's not a could have, but it's a will. I'm hopeful. I'll be hopeful. When we come back, Drew Hill will join us. We'll talk to him about the Memphis Grizzlies Summer League, what he expects later today in terms of availability for certain guys, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, Turn FM, ESPN.
Yeah. Drew Hill covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. And let me say, does an amazing job. Has been telling some fantastic stories over the last couple of weeks out at Summer League. Zach Edey meeting Gigi Jackson, driving a Kia. Just a ton of great stuff all summer long from Drew. And, by the way, a Green Eye Shade Award winner, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's a good one to win. Honestly, that's one I'm pretty excited about. Some of these awards, it feels like they give out every single year. I think there's been some jokes made on the station about that, but this is actually one that I'm pretty proud of and happy to receive.
Well, you do a great job, and I want to give you your flowers because I know, you know, how challenging the current environment is in professional sports. It's not easy. It's not easy to do meaningful work. Just in the times that we live in, right? I mean, you know, if you were born in the 70s or 60s, you would have been born into a generation of the greatest access that ever existed. And it feels like, you know, in today's age, it's more and more sort of controlled by players and teams than ever before. And so to break through and to make an impact, you know, it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not just handed to you. And the fact that you have managed to do that, and not only do that, but do a great job of telling the story and your writing. I think you're certainly deserving of this. So I wanted to make sure you heard that from me. I don't do that often, but I wanted to make sure that as part of this award, I did give you your flowers.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. I do.
Okay, well, perfect. That honestly should mean more than the award itself, to hear that publicly from me.
I thought jokes were coming, and then you came at me with kindness here. I honestly don't even know how to respond because this is not the John.
No, it's not. But you know, again, you know, this is a serious accomplishment, and you know, you certainly deserve it. All right. Grizzlies cannot lose in Summer League. It's amazing. It doesn't matter who is playing, who is not playing for the Grizzlies. Yesterday, no Cam Spencer, no Jake LaRavia, no Zach Edey. And I will say it got interesting. The Magic made it interesting, but it was at the end of the day, too much Scottie Pippen Jr., too much G.G. Jackson. I know we're, again, instructed by default not to react to Summer League at all, but there has to be something, right, to take out of the idea that Scotty and Gigi are doing things like this consistently, regardless of who's out there.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely a positive sign. Scotty, I think, has been like the MVP of Summer League for the Grizzlies, if we're being honest, based on what we've seen from him. His ball pressure is unbelievable. Like, as soon as the other team gets the ball, he's picking up 94 feet every single time. And he's been super, super impressive. The guy is banged up. Like, honestly, he's banged up. He's got cuts and bruises, and he had a huge knot on his forehead, not after yesterday's game, but the previous game before that. Like, he is battling out there, and he's even said, like, if they're going to give me 10 fouls, then might as well use all 10 fouls to my competitive advantage and just do as much as I possibly can on the defensive end to try to generate steals. And who cares if I pick up fouls? It doesn't really matter. They don't even go into the bonus until 10 fouls. So might as well just try your hardest to put as much pressure on the ball as possible every single time. And we've seen what he can do. I think that is a really useful skill for him in particular because, you know, we ask if he's going to be the backup point guard for the Grizzlies this year. And it's a perfectly fair question, I think, to ask. I think you also kind of have to note that they use Desmond Bane as a backup point guard. They let Luke Kennard handle the ball, assuming that gets done soon. They've got Marcus Smart as an option. So Scotty won't be the backup point guard every game unless they were to move him to a main roster spot. And look, that's not impossible. I suppose it could happen. It just doesn't seem that all that likely to happen right now. But, like, I think he has a useful skill in on-ball defense that in special situations where you need stops or you're trying to close out a game, you can put him on the floor and feel pretty good about what he can do. And so that has been great. It's funny because, you know, I was asking Jason March yesterday after the game about the defense, and he basically said, and about Edey, who's supposed to, you know, according to the Grizzlies, who announced that he was probable to come back and is likely to return, and he's still expected to return. Well, guess what? The game is today. This is the last game of the regular season. The Grizzlies have a chance to play in the Summer League playoffs coming up. It looks likely they could be there, so I suppose they could try to wait on Edey, but you would expect that he's going to play today. And so when I asked about Edey, he said, you know, yeah, we might have some better rim protection that's going to give us even better defense. I looked at Jason and said, they got to get to the rim first. Like, nobody's been able to get to the rim against this Grizzlies team because of Scotty, because of Isaiah Miller, honestly. So I've been really, really impressed. And Gigi came in with super high expectations, and I'm not saying he surpassed those expectations, but I think he's met them. Outside of that first game in Salt Lake City, he's been really good. So Summer League, by far, I think, has been largely a big success for the Grizzlies.
Interesting. So just obviously, you know, this is a very unregulated, unmandated kind of situation. You know, it's not like a typical NBA season game where, you know, you have to submit an injury report, you know, an hour and a half before the game. You have to have shoot-arounds and things like that. But just based on sort of the intimations and tea leaves, You personally would expect Edey to play in this one?
I mean, that is a guess. I'm full disclosure. I am in the Las Vegas airport this morning. I am coming back today. I've been gone since June 29th. I'm very excited to get back to my wife and the beautiful city of Memphis. So I won't be able to, like, really work on the beat today and see what's going on, poke around there. But again, this is the way that everything is unfolded, okay? So Edey gets hurt, you know, the rumors, the whispers start coming out the next day in Salt Lake City. hey, he may be out. Like, that was an actual ankle turn. Like, I don't know if he's going to play. So he doesn't play the second game in Salt Lake City. He doesn't play the third game in Salt Lake City. You get to Vegas, everybody's kind of wondering, okay, is he going to be playing? You know, you do your digging, you ask around, and the response is consistently, well, he's not shut down, he's not shut down, he's not shut down, which means they still want him to play in summer league. Now, I don't know if he's done everything in practice, but again, I don't think that there's anything to really worry about with this. Like, I just think that there's this natural reaction from Grizzlies fans to go absolutely berserk and crazy when something like this happens because of the way that last season unfolded. Like, this isn't a Steven Adams situation. There's not a question on whether or not Zach Edey needs surgery on his ankle. Like, that we're not like that. That has not unfolded. Nothing like that has happened. They're just letting the ankle heal up. And so, I would guess, and this is purely a guess, that he would probably play, because going into yesterday, they said he was likely to return, right, during summer league. And so likely to return would mean he has to play today if they didn't have a chance at the playoffs. Now, things might change, because Now they could maybe afford to wait to play him and give him even more time if they know they're going to have an additional game. But I think if you would have asked this question yesterday morning before they played the game, like, people probably would have, I would have guessed that the answer he would receive is yes, he's going to play. So that's the only reason why he may not play, I feel like, today, is because there might be another game on the horizon. And if there is, and the goal is to get him in one more, then maybe you wait.
Yeah, that's interesting, because the Pelicans are terrible. They've been one of the worst teams in summer league the entire summer. So I feel like if you're the Grizzlies, you've managed to beat, you beat the Magic without Zach Edey, and the Magic were one of the best. So I think that's actually a really interesting idea that, hey, we're going to go for this. I don't know if they intended to go for the Summer League Championship or not, but here we are, and they're right there. So I could see a scenario for sure where they're just like, let's get Zach, if we're going to bring him back, let's get him back in the most competitive summer league environment possible. I mean, that would make sense to me. And Gigi and Scotty have been, sort of good enough as is, to feel like you can get that done. So I don't know. It'd be interesting. You don't clearly need him against the Pelicans team, I feel like. You should feel confidence that, you've got enough. We're really breaking down summer league. You got to love it. You got to love it.
That is what we are here to talk about. And again, like, I just want to make sure this point comes across. Like, this is like, I just see this online reaction, and maybe that doesn't reflect the reaction of the overall fan base. But, like, I don't necessarily think that we've been misled on Grizzlies injuries all that much. I mean, the Steven Adams thing is a very notable exception that people were probably screaming at the radio saying, Steven Adams, we thought he was going to be back next to that season. Then they ruled him out. Like, I get that. But that was like a question of like surgery or no surgery type of deal. Like, that was a totally different situation. Like, said Brandon Clark was going to be back towards the end of the year. Brandon Clark came back. They said Desmond Bane was going to come back towards the end of the year. Desmond Bane came back. Like, yeah, I get it. The injuries are super frustrating, but like, I don't think we've necessarily had a lack of clarity on Edey. Like, the entire time they've said we expect that he's going to play by the end of summer league. So let's see if that happens. And if that doesn't happen, then that's the time to be outraged. Not right now. Like, right now is not the time to be outraged about the Edey stuff. I get that it's disappointing that he hasn't played, because everybody wanted to see him play, but he looked pretty good in that first game. Like, I don't think they're really worried about whether or not Zach Edey is going to fit on the court for the Grizzlies this season. So just give it. Let's see what happens today. I hope we get an entertaining game, even though you're right, the Pelicans have not been very good. And it's funny. I don't think they came to summer league intending to like saying the goal is to win the championship. That's never the goal of summer league. It's like player development. Let's get used to playing the style we want to play. But now that it's kind of right in front of them, I did get the sense yesterday that they do want to win it. But Jason March basically said to me, he said, this is all great. Like, and I do want us to try to go win. Obviously, the goal is to win every game. I'm just really happy that they continue to play the way that we want them to play, because sometimes in summer league or like at the G League showcase, you do see a little bit of selfishness, guys trying to get theirs, trying to prove that they belong. Like, that has not been the case at all with the Grizzlies, and so that's been really good. It's been the same formula every time. They're just so nasty on defense that they force the other team into a bunch of turnovers and get a bunch of easy buckets as a result of it.
We're talking to Drew Hill, Green Eye Shade Award winner for 2023 for his great work on the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian last season. All right, I want to ask your opinions on a couple players, some with the Grizzlies in Summer League, some not with the Grizzlies in Summer League. Cam Spencer, he has shown a ton. He's been amazing in the role that he's had. Is there a decision to make on him, like, or is it just as simple as we're gonna keep him in South Haven and hope he develops, and if he does, we'll call him up? Like, what's that look like?
I mean, you can't make that decision right now, obviously, based on a couple summer league games. But he's impressed, I can tell you that. He's another guy that missed the last game with an ankle. That was a real ankle turn. Yeah, I haven't heard that he's out today, but I would probably not expect him to play. He's been impressive. Obviously, he shot the ball really well. They love his energy. The guy just runs around and tries to make plays absolutely everywhere. Obviously, there's this notion that he's totally crazy, and I kind of love it. Like, I think a lot of the people around the team just find him to be a super fascinating guy. Gigi was telling a story about how he was just running around shooting after practice and missed two shots in a row, totally on his own, just shooting on his own, and got so mad he's like slamming the ball off the backboard because he's so frustrated that he missed two shots. Like, that'd be like you doing that in the backyard. It's just a little crazy. It's a little crazy, but it comes from a really competitive place, and so they really like him. I really like him. I just think he's got to get a little bit better of a feel for the NBA style and NBA offense, because he has he's found himself not always in the right place for the Grizzlies, but I think a lot of that comes from what he did at UConn, where his energy was just so infectious and so important to that team that they would allow him to sort of run around and freestyle and kind of try to make an impact on the game. He doesn't need to do that as much for the Grizzlies, so that's a little bit of an adjustment, but I would say that they've been pretty impressed with him. Let's see what he does at the NBA level before we talk contracts. I mean,
lifetime.
Contract. Time deal. All no, right. I think some people are already ready to go there. But he's been good, and there is a chance that the Grizzlies could go into the regular season with a spot open. But, like, you've also got Scottie Pippen, who's been pretty good, too, as another option for they do indeed go into the season with the spot open.
And then Jalen Wells, what have you made of what he's shown? Obviously, it's been up, it's been down. What do you make of him?
I think he's interesting because when they drafted him, and I will have some stuff coming on Jalen Wells soon, maybe next week. I spent a lot of time with his people in Salt Lake City, so I just need a chance to gather all those thoughts and get something out there. I can tell you what I've heard from the staff, and that is he plays defense a lot better, I think, than they even expected when he showed up. They drafted Jalen Wells as a prototypical NBA shooter. Like, this guy's got size. He can shoot. That's kind of – both of those things are needs. Well, he hasn't shot the ball that well in summer league. No reason for alarm there. If you go look at what Gigi did in summer league last year versus – you know, how he kind of found himself during the regular season. There's definitely there's no reason for alarm on the Jalen Wells stuff, but they are impressed by what he's done on the defensive end, which was not something that they necessarily thought was going to be a strength of his when he showed up. We'll see what he does the rest of summer league. I think eventually some of these shots are going to go in and people will feel a lot better about it. Remember Jake? I mean, when Jake showed up to summer league, his rookie season, he was Mike Miller, remember? Because he made a bunch of shots in the first game, and then that didn't turn out to be the case. And then Gigi was like, nobody raised an eyebrow at Gigi during his first summer league, and now he's coming back to summer league with some of the highest expectations we've ever seen for a Grizzlies player. coming into the summer league. So let's try not to overreact to Jalen Wells' struggles to start here.
And then lastly, in terms of I don't know how much summer league you have taken in, you know, outside of Grizzlies, but they obviously have played other teams too that you've been in attendance watching. Is there a rookie that you've seen over the last, you know, 5-6 days? That you're like, oh yeah, for sure, they're going to be a good one.
I mean, Reed Sheppard.
Yeah,
I caught some of Reed Sheppard's game when they played against Detroit and Los Angeles, just because those games happened to line up with the Grizzlies. Look, I know there was tons of reporting out there that the Grizzlies were trying to trade up to go get Donovan Clingan. You're going to have a hard time convincing me that they didn't have a ton of interest in Reed Sheppard too, because he just fits the Grizzlies model so well. Like, the Grizzlies don't draft players that are huge projects. They draft players that are already good basketball players. And Reed Sheppard was undeniably already a good basketball player and analytically extremely good as he entered the draft. They probably would have had to get all the way to 3 if they wanted to get a guy like that. But, you know, they did have those conversations with the Rockets, right? Like, that was out there, that those were happening. Maybe it was for Klingon. Maybe it was for another player. I don't think we'll ever know that answer. But Reed Sheppard has been really impressive. I think he's going to be a really good player. He would have been a great fit on the Grizzlies. But you know what? Edie fits a big need, and he's been pretty good too. So I've liked what I've seen from Reed Sheppard so far.
You know who I actually like want to bet on and I know you can't bet because you have integrity, but Tristan Da Silva at +10,000. Like, that dude is a real NBA player, and I don't know, you know, again, what his role is going to be necessarily for the Magic next year, but I mean, you saw it up close and personal yesterday. Like, that guy is a big time shot maker. He's going to be a good one. I don't know if it's going to be rookie of the year worthy, but +10,000, it might be worth taking a flyer on him.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, he played with Cody Williams, right?
And yes,
he was a lot better than Cody Williams.
No
in the
question.
Tournament.
I can't say that
I watched a ton of Colorado basketball last year, if we're being honest. But I did watch the Colorado tournament games, and Da Silva was pretty impressive. So, yeah, no, he's obviously been pretty good too since he's been here. But I was kind of bummed. I wanted to see Anthony Black yesterday because I felt like Anthony Black and Gigi would have been a fun matchup to see. But, you know, can't get everything that we want. We haven't seen Edie since the first game. Hopefully we see him today.
Hopefully so, man. Well, welcome back. Safe travels back home to Memphis. My man's been gone since June. That's absolutely insane. So we'll get you back home in Memphis. We'll be glad to have you. Thanks for the time, as always, Drew.
Yeah, thanks, guys. See you later.
Yes, sir. He is Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. Yeah, man, that's a grind out there. I think he said he's been gone since the 20-something. So, whoo, buddy, that's a long time away from the house. So, good on him getting back home. We'll come back. Jason and John, 99.9 FM, ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.